Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Over the last 2 days, a series of possibly coordinated attacks on white police officers has been carried out by black attackers. The known attacks, and there may be others, took place in Dallas, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Bristol, Tennessee, and Valdosta, Georgia. These killings and shootings are linked to massive Black Lives Matter, or BLM, protests, which have besieged several major cities. Huge BLM mobs inundated and surrounded CNN headquarters and shut down Interstate 75 in Atlanta. In California, Interstate 880 near Oakland was totally shut down in both directions by BLM agitators. The attack in Dallas got the most press and resulted in multiple fatalities. 12 police officers were shot and 5 were killed by a black sniper who was influenced by the Black Lives Matter movement. The attack took place during a Black Lives Matter anti-police protest. The sniper, Micah Xavier Johnson, who was himself killed by a robot-operated police bomb, was enraged at whites in general and white police officers in particular. He said he was, quote, upset about Black Lives Matter, close quote. He stated, according to Dallas police, that he wanted to, quote, exterminate whites, close quote. According to police and eyewitnesses, in Baldwin, Missouri, suburban St. Louis, near Ferguson, where blacks rioted, looted, and burned down part of the city 2 years ago, spurred on in part by Black Lives Matter agitators, a black male named Antonio Taylor ambushed and shot a white police officer just hours after the Dallas attacks. In Bristol, Tennessee, near the Virginia line and not far from our National Alliance business office, a black male named Lakeem Keon Scott killed a white woman, Jennifer Rooney, shot another white woman, Deborah Watts, shot a white man, David Whitman Davis, and shot a white police officer, Matthew Cousins. The killer, according to CBS News, was motivated by the issues raised by Black Lives Matter and targeted his victims because they were white. Quote, preliminary findings indicate Scott may have targeted people and officers after being troubled by recent events involving African Americans and law enforcement officers in other parts of the country, close quote. Lakeem Scott went on his killing rampage during intense coverage of Black Lives Matter protests around the country and just hours before the sniper attack in Dallas. Quote, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says the attacker told authorities that he was frustrated by the recent killings by police of black men in Louisiana and Minnesota, close quote. Witnesses reported hearing someone yell, quote, police suck, Black Lives Matter, close quote, before the bullets were fired. In Valdosta, Georgia, early Friday morning, just hours after the sniper murders of officers in Dallas, and during nonstop media coverage of the killings and the associated Black Lives Matter protests, quote, authorities say a black man called 911 in South Georgia to report a break-in, then ambushed and shot the white officer who came to investigate. Both men were wounded in the ensuing gunfire, and both are expected to survive. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation says in a news release that 22-year-old Stephen Paul Beck called 911, saying his car was broken into Friday morning. Officer Randall Hancock came to investigate, and police say Beck shot at him as soon as he got out of his car. He was hit twice in his protective vest and once beneath the vest in his abdomen. The GBI says the motive is unknown. In contrast, Valdosta Police Chief Brian Childress would not discuss a possible motive, close quote. Though authorities now say that the Dallas sniper, Micah Johnson, was a lone shooter, initial reports showed that officers and witnesses believed there were several snipers attacking at once. A Dallas police officer can be heard on his radio during the attacks saying, quote, "We have an open window on Lamar with rifles hanging out," close quote. Rifles, plural. And quite a few of these peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters were well armed. The Washington Post quoted the mayor of Dallas, Michael Rawlings, as stating, quote, "About 20 civilians with ammo gear and rifles over their shoulders began to run away when the shooting began," close quote. About 20 civilians with ammo gear and rifles over their shoulders. Shortly after the attacks, police stated the slain officers, quote, "were killed by snipers perched atop elevated positions," close quote. A Dallas police spokesman said, quote, "During the search of the suspect's home, detectives found bomb-making materials, ballistic vests, rifles, ammunition, and a personal journal of combat tactics," close quote. I wonder if the sniper had any books or other publications, or a history of visiting anti-white websites that might have aided or inspired him in his murderous rampage against white officers. Will his political affiliations and book purchases going back years be analyzed and publicized, as were those of Thomas Mayer? Will the billionaire Jew and vulture capitalist George Soros, who, according to the Washington Times, funds Black Lives Matter and associated groups to the tune of dozens of millions of dollars every year, be publicly linked to these killings? Remember that Soros proudly boasts of his funding of revolutions and coups, such as the so-called color revolutions in Ukraine and other countries. Revolutions and coups designed to enslave whole nations to Jewish media and financial oligarchs, and install puppet governments, all prettied up, of course, with rhetoric about freedom and a diverse, open society. What do you think Soros is up to in our country? Were these attacks coordinated, or were they merely inspired by the non-stop controlled media coverage and agitation by Black Lives Matter protesters against alleged racist white policemen? We don't know for certain, but we do know that a militant black group calling itself the Black Power Political Association, or BPPO, claimed responsibility for the Dallas murders, saying on their now-removed Facebook page, quote, "Black Power, Black Knights, sniper assassins take down 5 police officers, and more will be assassinated in the coming days. Do you like the work of our assassins? Get your own sniper rifle and join our thousands of sniper assassins worldwide in the fight against oppression," close quote. Most interestingly, and unmentioned by other media outlets, the BPPO Facebook page lists its homepage URL as theblackpanthers.com, a promotional site for a recent, virulently anti-white film with the amazing and frankly Marxist title, The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, lionizing the violent Black Panther movement of the 1960s and 1970s. The film's producers proudly proclaim that the film was funded, partly by involuntary contributions by white taxpayers, of course, by Jewish-run PBS and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with even more help from the anti-white Ford Foundation. Peel back the skin of these white-hating, murdering street thugs that are being whipped into a revolutionary army to be used against us. Peel back just a couple of layers, and you find billionaire Jews and major corporate and U.S. government involvement. These oligarchs preach to us, and have preached to us for years, that given enough white taxpayer-funded benefits and rainbow-colored diversity initiatives, and if whites give up their neighborhoods and their rights to self-defense and free speech, somehow we will bring about a multiracial utopia of love and harmony. But that's not happening. In fact, the opposite is happening. The truth is this: the blacks can never be appeased. Their impulsivity, their violence, their rage, their primitive nature constitute a permanent condition, unchangeable even in 100 lifetimes. Their primitive and, for us, highly dangerous inner nature transcends time and transcends geography. And it sure as hell transcends all the social programs and EBT cards rained down from heaven upon them by crazy suicidal white folks led by the Jewish Pied Pipers of equality and diversity. We could give them our entire nation. Lay down in our front yards, bound hand and foot, with our throats exposed and sharpened knives within easy reach. Our daughters chained to the bedroom door for their delectation. The entire contents of our bank accounts converted to cash and laid out neatly in unmarked bills on the kitchen table. And it still would not be enough. They would still hate. They would still rage. And they would still kill. And when they had done away with us, they would turn on others, including themselves. And now, their primitive rage is being organized and honed for use as a weapon to be used against whites, in case of the looming white resurgence that our enemies fear. There is a rational, reasonable solution, but the Jewish oligarchs don't want you to know about it and demonize anyone who speaks of it. That solution is racial separation. As I said in 2014, there are some 38 million people of African descent in this country. The current national debt of the United States is $17 trillion. If we paid each and every black person in the United States $100,000 to return to Africa, that's $500,000 for a family of five, more than enough for a bountiful start there. It would only cost $3.8 trillion, less than a 23% increase in our debt. The national debt is now increasing at a rate of some $2.6 billion per day. At that rate, which we're going to spend anyway, we could pay it all back in a little over 4 measly years. And it would be even easier to separate from the mestizo invaders, who are still within walking distance of their home countries. Wouldn't it be an act of mercy and deep morality to give our children their own nation again? Doesn't nature teach us, as the ecologist Garrett Hardin once said, that no two subspecies of the same species ever coexist peacefully in the same territory? Wouldn't it be the ultimate act of wisdom and kindness to ourselves and others to separate what nature has already separated by 100,000 years of evolution? And I made that proposal for racial separation 2 years ago. The rate of spending and debt growth has gone up since then, so it wouldn't even take 4 years these days to pay for the separation we need to save our people and our nation. And if we'd started 2 years ago, we'd be halfway there by now. The National Alliance is organizing whites to use our power, wealth, and influence to end the murderous and treacherous dispossession and genocide of our people. Men and women just like you can make a difference. Right now, most whites are just standing aside, with the flickering lights of their LCD screens reflecting in their eyes, doing absolutely nothing, as our people are being murdered, raped, exploited, and manipulated into funding and supporting their own genocide. But it doesn't have to be that way. There are still more, far more of us than there are of them. If we stand together, there is nothing we can't do. No enemy we can't defeat. No limit to the greatness we can achieve. Join us today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout to the sky.